Just checking to see, there's, I sort of see Matt, I think it's Matty's head floating around back there. It's a document I saw. So I was just gonna say, I think she's back there, just turned me on. And turned the volume up so you can hear me. Well, welcome to all of you this morning. This is gonna be kind of a whiplash. Everywhere. We were very full the first session, so. It's just a pleasure for you to be here, isn't it? It's a pleasure for you to be here. So, what's on your mind? What you thinking about? Penny for your thoughts?
the long cold winter.
Oh, I've got a picture for you. You know what? All of these are questions and a statement that have a common focus, and it's just your thoughts. When someone wants to know your thoughts, there's a lot of things, a lot of reasons why they might want to know. And depending on where your heart is, and how you see yourself and your relationship with that person, might depend on how you would think about answering those questions. You see, if you feel, and I'm going to put my glasses on here, just make sure I don't miss something. So if you feel like they're trying to get something out of you, you know, so kind of being underhanded about it, you might be very suspicious and cautious about what you share with them. That doesn't mean that's what their intention is, but if your thoughts are, if your belief is they're trying to get something, However, if you feel like they're genuinely interested in you and what you're thinking, then and that what you have to say is valuable to them, then you might share with them freely. So we share based on how we feel and what we believe about the other person and what we believe about ourselves. So I want to ask you, have you ever been in a situation where something you said has triggered someone else to reveal something that they believe about you that isn't true? They believe what they say is true because of their beliefs about themselves. So I'm going to share with you a little story. There's a couple that I know, and this was quite a while ago. They had both been married and divorced, and they had remarried each other. And we were having a conversation, and just, you know, talking about the week past and things that had happened, whatever. And the ex-wife of the husband got mentioned. And the new wife literally lost it. Just lost it. And just was angry and frustrated, and you don't love me, and you just, and we're just sitting there kind of going, because it just didn't make sense. And what had happened was, in our conversation, we had mentioned, like I said, the name of the ex-wife, and the new wife believed that mentioning her name meant that we didn't love her and accept her. Which, as we sit here now, seems totally unreasonable, which it was for us at that moment. But for her, it was completely reasonable. It was truth to her. It's what she believed and how she saw herself. Because I'm going to say from my perspective, she didn't see herself the way we saw her. That in this situation, when we finally were talking to her, and like I said, that she shared what she believed, she had made up her mind. There was nothing we could say or do because she had made up her mind that that's how it was. That if we were to speak this other person's name, it meant that we were thinking about her and this other woman, the ex-wife, and not her. She had set her thoughts higher than the truth because the truth was we loved her deeply. We had wonderful thoughts about her. But because she was setting her truth up higher than her belief up higher than the truth that was there, she couldn't receive the love. And she couldn't experience the wonderful words that are coming. And we can be that way with God. We can base how we feel and what we believe about ourselves to be the truth that's really higher than what the Father's truth is. The title of my message is, His Mind is Made Up. Not knowing or believing what God's thoughts are about us isn't going to change His mind about us. Okay? And I want to ask you, have you ever asked yourself, what are God's thoughts? A little picture here for you. This is Albert Einstein. I want to know God's thoughts. The rest is details. Even Albert Einstein, what's God thinking? And what does it mean to know God's thoughts? And again, depending on what you believe about yourself and believe about Him, you might respond to this question differently. No, I've never thought about asking God questions about His thoughts because I'm not sure I want to know what they are. Or I just never thought to ask. Or, yes, I have, and I love His thoughts. I love His thoughts about me and about life. All of them based on just where we are at, what we're doing, how we think, and what we believe. So why is it important for us, or why would we want to know God's thoughts towards us? I'm going to take you to a scripture that we've all said. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. When we know God's thoughts, okay, when we know what He's thinking, it gives us discernment to discern our own thoughts. When our thoughts are, like my friend's thoughts, higher than the truth, we set it up higher than God, and we understand, like when she came to understand, now I'm going to be honest, she never did come to understand, but if we come to understand God's thoughts, believe and trust, we can say, wait a minute, I don't have to believe this about myself if it's, you know, that God could possibly do that. I'm going to tear down this stronghold because I understand God's thoughts about me. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. His truth is higher. And His thoughts are really good towards us. To know or believe what God's thoughts are about you puts you on really solid footing. Again, solid footing to discern your own thoughts. Solid footing to hear what's happening around you and to know God's ways are higher and better, and God's thoughts are higher and better than the world's thoughts. I want to look at a few scriptures this morning that talk about God's thoughts, and let me tell you, they are just a few in comparison to how many are in there about His good thoughts towards us. First of all, I did this last time too. My printer isn't printing well, so I had a little dot to highlight. There's a slide coming up. When we know that God's, well, let me see. This is probably the first one. Okay. Stop, Shannon. Refocus. Let's see. Okay. God's word, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and hope. So let's just stop there for a minute. To give you future and a hope and peace. These are His thoughts towards you. This is how He thinks. This is what He wants, His intentions and His ideas. And they're not for evil. So when we see the evil that's happening in the world and the things that are happening in the world, you know where our focus can become? On the world. We can start believing what the world's saying. We can start thinking the way the world thinks. And we don't want the world's thoughts. We want God's thoughts. What you thinking? And here He says, I know these thoughts and they're about peace. They're about a future. They're about hope. Unfortunately, when we start listening to the things of the world, sometimes we can get what I call the spirit of Eeyore. The sky has finally fallen. Always knew it would. Right? And really, that's just echoing something from the book of Job. Job said, "That which I feared has come upon me." So if our focus is in the world and the things of the world, guess what? You're going to find those things you're looking for if you're looking for negative things. You'll see them. Don't take on any of your spirit. Let's take on the thoughts of the Lord. Let's set those thoughts higher than what we're experiencing. "For your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them." Have you ever thought, listen to what this says. It says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book." Did you know God has a book about you? Have you ever thought that God has a book about you? Have you ever thought to ask God to read you your book? Does that seem too high and lofty for you? Because it does sometimes. You can sit with Papa. Papa would love to read to you. How many of you read to your children when they were little? Yeah. Papa has a book about you. You know what? Did you ever notice, I didn't tell say this the first time, but do you ever notice sitting with kids, they like to see pictures of themselves, you know, before they get teenagers and they won't let you take pictures of them? They love to see, they love to hear. We're just like that. We want to know what Papa's doing. We want to hear the story. And he is happy to share his thoughts with you. "How precious are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them." That's another thing. God's thoughts about you, the sum of them, we can't even add them. His thoughts about you that are all good, full of hope and peace and future, and we can't even count the sum of them. About you, about me. It's amazing. "How precious to me are your thoughts." I want to ask you this morning, are God's thoughts precious to you? And you know what? Maybe you've never thought about it, so I just want to encourage you. Get a hold of his thoughts and allow them to become precious because, oh, they're good stuff. It's good stuff. Let's move on to our next scripture here. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth far more than many sparrows." And like I said in the first session, some of us are helping the Lord out with hair counting. Some of us hairs to count. But you are precious to the Lord. You're more valuable. You know, one of my joys, and I just call them Papa joys because Papa brings these little birds into my yard. And this, for the last actually couple of years, I've had sparrows nesting in my apple tree just outside my kitchen window. Worst apples in the world, just to let you know. Just like even the deer won't eat them. But there's a little hole and a knot that's come out. And they go in this little hole and they've nested in there. And there's these little birds in there. And watch the mama and the papa flying back and forth. And then these little chicks eventually are big enough that their little heads are peeking out with mama and papa. And it's just a delight. You know what Papa's thoughts are? He says, "You see those little sparrows and how much joy they bring you, Shannon? My thoughts about you are even more. My value for you is even more." That's Papa's thoughts about you, towards you. Papa's thoughts are amazing. And I hope you're not offended me. I call him Papa. Heavenly Father, Father, God, however, he's Papa. He is my Papa. I love Papa's thoughts. And I think his thoughts were to whisper in some sparrow's ears and say, go nest over there. Go nest in her apple tree. Because Papa knows the joy it brings me. You are worth more to him than even a whole bunch of sparrows. These are the words of Jesus. You're worth more to him. That's his thoughts towards you. You're valuable to me. I love you. You just mean so much to me. Here's the next scripture. "Oh Lord my God, many a time you have done great miracles for us. and we are ever in your thoughts. Who else can do such glorious things? No one else can be compared with you. There isn't time to tell of all your wonderful deeds. We are ever in your thoughts. Is God thinking about you now? How about now? What about now?
Yes.
Now? Ever in your, you're never off his mind. You're ever in his thoughts. You're ever in his thoughts for good things and blessing to come upon you. I mean, when was the last time you thought about God's thoughts about you? I encourage you, start asking about them. Say, Papa, what's on your mind? Penny for your thought. I can't find pennies now. They're maybe more valuable than a penny. Anyway, let's move on. Okay, come on. There we go. Here's our Albert Einstein again. Albert a little older. Once I thought that if I could ask God one question, I would ask him the universe, how the universe began. But because once I knew that, the rest was simply equations. But as I grew older, I became less concerned with how the universe began. Rather, that I would want to know why he started the universe. For once I knew that answer, then I would know the purpose of my life. Why do we want to know God's thoughts? Purpose of life. Sorry, my mic appears to be falling off my ear. Just give me one second. There. Okay, let's look at this. I love this scripture. This is coming. Linda had the Passion and the Message. This one's coming from the Voice Translation this morning. And I took it because, to me, it just kind of says it all, if I put it this way. Albert, I hope you got to read this. We are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good, beautiful, when we love him and accept his invitation to live according to his plan. From the distant past, his eternal love reached into the future. You see, he knew those who would be his one day, and he chose them beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn of a new family of believers, all brothers and sisters. As for those he chose beforehand, he called them to a different destiny, so that they would experience what it means to be made right with God and share in his glory. What is God's thought from the beginning? Family. It was all about bringing us back into the family. And I love the sentence that said, he reached from far in the past into the future with his eternal love. And he's still reaching to all of us who will receive that invitation to come back into the family. To accept that invitation. You see, God's mind is made up. It's made up of how he feels about us. He loves us. He accepts us. He's invited us to come join him. And I'm going to share a scripture here, and this is from the Passion Translation that we all know. For this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, unique Son, as a gift. So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and its rescuer. Don't you love that? Or we know John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world, right? Mm-hmm. That's how much God loves. That's his thoughts. He's not here to judge and condemn the world. He loves the world, and through his Son, he gave the gift of his Son to us. I'm going to read some of the footnotes from the Passion that I thought were just so wonderful. And again, it starts by saying he proved his love to the world by giving his Son. And where it says, so now everyone who believes in him can also be translated believes into him. I love what Linda shared this morning in communion when she read from the scriptures that Jesus said that I am in the Father and Father you are in me, and that that they may be at one with us as we are one. Believing into Jesus, into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Coming into him. Our salvation and regeneration is by faith. And true faith has a number of components. Acceptance, embracing something or someone as truth, union with God and his word, and inner confidence that God alone is enough. That's our salvation. That's our faith. And that we'll never perish, we'll have eternal life. And I love this. That God did not send a son into the world to judge, condemn the world, but to be its Savior and its rescuer. And its Savior and rescuer there is so that they shall live by his hand of power. And understanding that we'll live by God's hand of power, by Jesus' hand of power. Are you living by his hand of power? Did you ever think of it that way? I hope you've heard this morning God's thoughts towards you. And that, again, like I said, it's not all of them. I hope you understand how marvelous his thoughts are, and that your understanding his thoughts about you and knowing and believing that, again, gives you a firm foundation to call down those things that don't your own thoughts even discern now as what is of God and what is not. God's thoughts about me. I'm ever in your thoughts, God. Thoughts that are filled with peace and a future and a hope. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So why don't you stand with me and we will pray and dismiss. And I want to encourage you this week, find some time to just talk with Papa and listen to him. Ask him, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? And give him time to hear. Give yourself time to hear what he has to say. You might even want to know what he has written in your book. Ask him, what's in my book, Lord? I know he'll reveal them. So, Father, we come before you this morning and we are so thankful, Lord. We are thankful for your goodness, your love. We thank you for that your thoughts towards us are so sweet and so good, and that we feel your every thought. Oh, thank you, Papa. And I pray over the saints here this week, Lord, that they may experience your thoughts, that they may hear something new of your thoughts and just be delighted and encouraged. Oh, Papa, again, we give you thanks and praise in the wonderful name of our Jesus Christ, who is your perfect thought. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's saints said,
Amen. Amen.